Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We started last week in Imbizo, and we are really calling on you to be a part of this conversation. These are issues that affect you and I. These are issues that affect our communities. And today, I want us to focus on teenage pregnancies. The numbers are staggering. So I've got numbers from 2021, 2022. We'll make sure that we give you the latest stats in a short while. But 150,000 children, 150,000 teenagers pregnant in South Africa in that year, 2021-2022. It's definitely something to discuss, and some as young as 10. How does a child as young as 10 fall pregnant? These are the questions we need to grapple with and what we need to do. How do we take responsibility for what has become a really big problem in our society? I really do want to welcome your contribution, your thoughts, because it's not one person's solution. It's all of us that need to come to the party as a society to try and deal with this. 086-00-00-959. You can also send your voice notes on 063-688-0959. I've invited Research Director in the Public Health Societies and Belongings Division at the Human Sciences Research Council, Dr. Nompumelelo Zungu, who is on the line with us, very graciously agreed to be a part of this conversation. Dr. Zungu, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and thank you for inviting us.
Just maybe help us with the latest stats that are at your disposal. What are we looking at here? We've been getting stats from different provinces, and obviously they're raising their concerns around teenage pregnancies. But give us maybe the stats as you have them up to today.
Yeah, I think let me just start by saying, which is something that you have noted, that we have different statistics. Mm. Some of our statistics comes from the Department of Health.
Yeah.
Some of it might come from DBE, mm-hmm, in terms of the schools. We also collect data as part of our, you know, HIV prevalence survey. And when we look at that data that was collected in 2022, we find that among teenagers 15 to 19 years old, those that indicated that they were recently pregnant were 6.7%. And if you translate that into the population of teens, we are talking about 194,684 young people between the ages of 15 and 19 who said that they were pregnant. And because pregnancy is a risk for HIV, we have to also talk about STIs and also HIV. And we found that when we looked at this population of young people who were recently pregnant, we found that 7.5% of them were HIV positive. And that translates to about 17,648 young girls that are living with HIV in that population. But what really disturbs me, and is what you have touched on, the young people, and here we're talking about girls, you know, yeah, we're talking about girls where you spoke about the 10 to 14. So if we look at the first quarter, and here we are talking about the data that comes from the Department of Health, and the first quarter we're talking about from April to June 2024, in total there's been 23,000 pregnancies. Hmm. And I want to remind the readers, April to June, the Department of Health says there's been 23 pregnancies. Of those 20,000 of them, over 20,000, which is 20,070 of them delivered in facility. And here we are talking about the age that is a bit, it's 15 to 19. But where it really, really worries me, Pamela, is when we look at these pregnancies that you are talking about, the 10 to 14. Mm. And these statistics from the Department of Health show that in total, 601 girls aged 10 to 14 were pregnant in South Africa between April and June. And of those girls, 429 gave birth at a health facility, and 172 terminated the pregnancy. So we really, really have a problem. And we're talking about teenage pregnancy, but actually we're also talking about something else, something that we need to really unpack, because we cannot be talking about children 10 to 14 who are pregnant in South Africa.
Sure. Children as young as 10 who terminated, 172 had to terminate those pregnancies. And what are the HIV stats on this particular group?
I don't have for the 10 to 14, but the ones that we looked at, because at the HSRC, when we collect our data, we do not ask children younger than 14. So that questionnaire is completed by a guardian. So we don't ask them about issues of pregnancy and sexual activity. So we only start from 15 and above with that. So I have that stats in terms of the pregnant girls, not for the 10 to 14, which are reported by the Department of Health.
I'm going to ask you what I think may sound like a simple question, but let's go there anyway. So how do these children fall pregnant? I mean, I want to specifically start honing in on the 10 to 14 year olds.
I think most of those cases, but I think let's go just to what the definition of statutory rape is, because I think that's where we should start.
Yeah.
So statutory rape is defined as any sexual contact between an adult and a minor, regardless of consent.
Yes.
And when you talk about a minor, you are talking about someone who has not reached the legal age of consent. And the legal age of consent for both girls and boys is 16. Mm. So any child between 10 and the age that we are talking about, who is pregnant, we are actually talking about statutory rape. So sexual abuse definitely features in the rape and so on. So a child cannot consent to sexual activity. That is what the legal prescript say or provide.
How then do we define a minor who then had sex with maybe an older child, but still under 16?
So there, you know, there is what we call peer sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So peer to peer. Here we're talking about two children who are at a similar age. Then you've got child on child sexual abuse. Here we're talking about a child who may engage with another child who's at a different age a bracket. For an example, a 15-year-old who might have a boyfriend who is 17 or who is 18. So that 18, because that person is regarded as older, although by definition we're still talking about an adolescent, they cannot have sex with someone who's under the age of 15. So if it's reported, and it should be reported, then the police must come in and investigate exactly what is going on. But we are aware that sometimes children mature very early, and they become very sexually, very curious. And some of it has to do with the environment. For an example, you find that a child has been sexually abused, and because they were sexually abused, they become sexually aware very early, and then they might abuse another child. Some children are exposed to pornography, for an example, and that can be because of an adult that is abusing the child, or it might be something that is shared at the school, or the fact that we give children gadgets very early in life, and sometimes we don't control what they can access and make sure that we close certain apps that can expose them to that. So there's a lot of environmental issues. And one of the things that I always talk about, Pamela, is even the way that we build our low-cost housing, where we build one room, for an example. And in that one room, we expect people to live there. There's no bedroom, there's no privacy. Sometimes it happens that children become exposed to adult sexual activity very early, and it can cause some of these problems that we are seeing, 14-year-olds, children who are raping each other at school, whether it's in a toilet or in a park or so on. So these are the problems of society that we need to really, really come together and say, what is it that we need to be doing differently? How are we socializing our children, both girls and boys? How do we protect them? How do we make sure that the society where they are is safe? Who do you leave your child with? You know, we have this phenomenon now, which started probably now it's been 2 decades,
yeah,
where we transport our kids.
Yeah.
You know, they move from home very early into transports. Mm. Some of them are even, commuting on their own.
Mm.
They have to find their way to school on their own. You look at rural areas where children walk long distances, sometimes even passing through bushes and whatever. So those are some of the factors that we need to look at when we are looking at this problem of young girls being sexually assaulted and abused and ending up pregnant.
And so what is prevalent, and now we will categorize them in that age bracket of 10 to 14, what seems to be the most prevailing reasons for these pregnancies?
Mostly it's sexual abuse. I think sexual abuse is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And very soon we'll be releasing statistics that is looking at gender-based violence,
mm,
and specifically gender-based violence that happens before the age of 16 or so. So that is one of the things that we can unpack later when that study is released. I think sexual abuse is very, very rife in South Africa, and we need to look at it. We need to look at it. As much as we talk about the dynamics between children and their peers, but the issue of sexual abuse, this whole issue of older children also, you know, having sexual intercourse with children that might be younger than them, it's also one of the issues that we need to look at. But mostly it's sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Sexual abuse that is driving some of this, even teenage pregnancy, because I think we also need to just expand, not just focus on this group, because there's also the 15 to 19.
Mm.
And we can then look at what are the causes of those, because some of these things, then you then pick up the gender-based violence. You then pick up, you know, how easy it is to give information. Are we sitting down with our young children at an age where they are young, just teaching them about their bodies, teaching them about how to talk to you, opening up that communication for them to be able to talk to you as a parent if something has happened to them. So all those things we need to be thinking about. How do we have age-appropriate language to give to children to be able to say if they've been violated in any way by anybody, from school all the way to people that are renting in our homes? Some people have back rooms and so on. Who is there when they come back from school? How long are they out waiting for transport that might be collecting at 6 or 5 or whatever time that they are being collected? What happens? Is there any supervision at school? What goes on? So those are things that we need to unpack and think about how communities can come together to protect children.
I'm going to take a quick break. We're in conversation with Dr. Mpumelelo Zungu, who is from the HSRC, Human Sciences Research Council. We're discussing teenage pregnancies. Really, it's important for you to be a part of this conversation. Your own experiences, what are you observing? Do you possibly have a child at home who's already got a baby? And what were the circumstances, and how are you coping as a family, as a community? What kind of difficulties are you experiencing? Perhaps you're a teacher and you are seeing this quite a lot. Love to hear from you. 086-000-00959. You can also send those voice notes on 063-688-0959.
Most South Africa, ahuna education for the young girls. The young girls, they do as they please. bana ba banyane gona le bo this thing ba reng ke Indian Center ha motswari a rometse ngwana ga gore a sekolong bona ba thena ba tsama ba kwa ba kena mo ke sa mo plekeng engwe e ke sa understanding so but they do as they please ka gore a gore bolao so ke hopela go mmotsa gore why ntho ya pregnancy ba sa tsama e bona sele ba tlo bona gore bana ba yere gore ba itswa keng gore go be so ba tsama underground not gore ba bona ntho e se etsa fetse nna re bothata re le bothata as I'm saying to you ko Kimberley Indian Center I saw young girls ga ba ya sekolong they turn around ba tsamaya ba ya moo a ke tsebo gore go etsega eng moo batestay long day motswadi ga itse gore ngwana ga ile sekolong gante ba ile moole.
Thank you so much for your contribution, and I'm really welcoming more. 086-000-959. It's where you can dial in, and you can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. We're discussing teenage pregnancies with Dr. Nompumelelo Zungu, who is from the Human Sciences Research Council. Dr. Zungu, you know, I grew up at a time when if during school hours you are in uniform and you are gallivanting, There is no way someone, a police, somebody will pick you up and make sure that either you are supposed to be in school, and if you're not at school, what are you doing in the street? Yes. I don't know whether the law has changed in that regard. I've seen students at 10 gallivanting the streets at 10 in the morning and nobody flinches. So I just want us to take step by step what could be the problem, yes. Just like we've had the voice note coming through.
Yeah. I think, you know, listening to that voice note, Pamela, I think it's easy for us as families, as communities, to want to point somewhere else.
Mm.
And I believe that if we're going to heal our society, we all need to do the introspection about where am I going wrong as an individual? Where is the family going wrong? Where is the society going wrong? Because I also grew up during that time where you knew that you had to be at school at what time. Normally it would be 8, some people 7:30, and you will be there until the school ends. And even when the school ends, you still know that there's going to be duties for you, whether it's cleaning the class, picking up the papers, then you walk home. Some of us would have our mothers already waiting outside the gate to make sure that from the school we go straight home. So for me, I think what we are lacking is that thing that we had where umntanakho is my child.
Mm.
So when I grew up, if a neighbor saw me doing something wrong, I was sure that that evening they would be knocking or afternoon and coming to say, we saw Mpumi at that corner doing 1, 2, 3. I think we have lost that thing of being each other's keeper. I'm a sister's keeper, my brother's keeper. Mm. So because of that, there is not that responsibility to say, if an adult, I don't want to see an adult find me in a tavern. When I grew up, taverns were not there. It's something that came very late. We didn't have a tavern along the street. It was just not allowed. Yes, we had beer halls. We can talk about the Orlando one that was banned at some point and so on. But you didn't have your neighbor and another neighbor and another spaza selling alcohol. And also nobody taking responsibility of saying, we are going to visit this person to say, yes, you have a tavern, but we don't want to see anyone under the age of 18 here, 19 here, 21 here. So I think we are missing that part in our communities. Because if you look at other communities, some of these problems are located in my community and you don't see them as prevalent in other communities. So we need to look to do our own introspection about how do we build ourselves? How do we heal from this trauma, this intergenerational trauma that we pass on? And interestingly, research shows that sometimes this, the, even teenage pregnancy, people getting pregnant very early in a family, it will run through generations. Yep. Mom had a child at 14 and another one at 13 and so on. So it's something that we need to change the cycle of these things within our communities. Oh.
Dumza is calling from Joburg. Dumza, good evening and welcome. Thanks for calling. Hello, Dumza? Dumza?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Good evening.
Evening, how are you, man?
I'm okay, man. Thank you so much for calling.
Yo, actually, we are having a very interesting studio. I'm a e-hailer.
Okay.
I want to...
Just
that when you speak the truth, now people are starting to step back. My sister, we are picking up very young kids from guest house, and it's very scary. So I don't know if it's a society problem or what, because the banners are not feeling too much freedom and allowance.
We're
receiving these requests, and most of these guys who are requesting for them, they make sure they use new accounts, so you can't raise it. If a new account, cash payment. And the funny part is, some cases you find that the young child, the male partner that they were with at the guest house, they are going to the same settlement, but they are not using the same transport. The guy will request the right for the young girl before with a new account, and a few minutes later, he will request his right. Yet they are going to the same place. You just see when you get there, for the car behind me dropping a male occupant, that face is familiar. See where I picked up this young girl from. You get me?
Yeah.
It's very scary, but I think even though we're not going to come to Chocomela and then work out in that way, half is a school and I'm sure that 20 rand, they influence each other. For you want that 20 rand, Korokono grab the last number of quarter, come with me. Yeah, in some cases, you pick up like, you just drop on one, or what about this and loss? There's no way one. And you can't do anything because when I hope you come on about a fashion, it's a sharp boss, you can go. You speak to somebody on the street, they'll tell you, we reported this building sometime, a number of times, but the owner, it's so connected, there's nothing we can do.
I see. I wanted to ask this, Khori. In a scenario where you are seeing this is the same lodge, same place you keep dropping these kids, I mean, do you ever feel like maybe as a part of a community member, you should report this place where you are finding you're dropping these kids? Dumza?
Yeah, you know, at the same time, our law enforcement agency is rotten to the core. Remember, we drive almost 24/7. We are always on the streets. In most cases, we see crimes taking place. You drive a few meters away or around the street, you find a police van standing there. You report what is going on. They say, drive away. A police officer will tell you, drive away. That time you're trying to report a crime taking place. Drive away.
Yeah.
So you see, hey, you just turn a blind eye for your safety. For your safety, just turn a blind eye. Because the very same person who you report to is part of that team. A team that is destroying our country. My sister, come to Joburg. Our police officers in Hebrew, they speak Nigerian language. That tells you how funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Dr. Zungu, it's so sobering, so sobering.
Yeah.
So there are those who do care, who want to do something, and yet, you know, the response from law enforcement, not just anybody, from law enforcement, would say, no, ukanagai wena mu, just walk.
Yeah, listening to the caller, even for me, I mean, I was not aware about the role of e-hailing, you know, services in the abuse of children. Because one of the things that I think we can talk about this intergenerational sex and some of those things. But in this case, I think what would be important is for that community to look for one of the NGOs that are working in the space of sexual abuse and gender-based violence, and have them, you know, give them that kind of information, because those NGOs then are able to put pressure on the not only the police but also the government, you know. So we need to be able to say, okay, police are not coming to the table. Who else is working in this area?
I Teddy like
Bear, it's one of those, you know, that we, you know, one can tap into if it's young children that are involved. There's all, you know, organizations like Women for Change and so on. So there's a lot of NGOs that can come in, Rape Crisis, all those kinds of people. Even if they are saying, well, it's what we do. We help victims, but they can at least direct you to the right place where you can be able to get help. Because I think we can't accept these kinds of things that are happening and we are seeing them. So someone needs to really gather information. I know for a fact that as part of that, the shutdown movement, you remember that march that went to the Union Building? Among the things that were raised was safe transport in the country, especially for women. And these e-hailing services were also targeted to say, you have to guarantee the safety of women that are using your services. Mm. Otherwise, you are not supposed to operate in South Africa. You need to vet the drivers that are driving. So if we are seeing these kinds of things where Uber is being used to violate or be a vehicle to bring children to places where they are abused, I think that then Uber should be taken up. There should be an effort to say, okay, who are the people we can pump? Activists come together. Yeah. Let's put pressure on Uber that children under this age or an adult who's requesting and the driver sees, they have to report.
Yeah.
They have to report.
I like that. I like the idea that if we can maybe bring in maybe an organization that has got more capacity to do the reporting, to do the follow-up, it may be easier than calling the police, because we all know our experience with the police. Mokwena is in Joburg. Mokwena, thank you so much for calling. Good evening.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Thanks for calling.
All right, yeah. Just want to say, because, I mean, you look at this thing from the age of 6 years, for 5 years, our kids are good. They got an access to the cell phones.
Yeah.
So whatever they do on the cell phones, they might downloading the game or WhatsApp. In between, you see some the apps popping up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a porn or it's anything which is totally out. So they want to check what is really behind it. They open it, they watch it. Then when they go to school or when they're sitting with their friends, they share that amongst them. And then they check on a Facebook, this thing of a TikTok, a Facebook, you find that the lady for the 55 years old, they posting naked or with a, just a, so to say that, just with the bra or the underwear. So they get interested to that. Then they want to have at the same account, they download the account, then they share that amongst their friends.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they're alone, they want to experience the same thing they saw on a Facebook or TikTok or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Then I mean, they don't want to do it that in practical.
Yeah.
That's when they felt pregnant.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mokwena. You're raising such an important thing, Mokwena, because, you know, Dr. Zungu, I often hear intellectuals talk about how people must make sure that they deactivate apps and all of that. And the point Mokwena is making is that it doesn't matter how many apps you deactivate. I can tell you now, there are enough social media, do they call them, influencers, that are barely dressed, that are not necessarily calling themselves pornography stars or anything like that. And it's become popular culture. It's become popular culture. And people, young people are exposed to that. So if you have a very popular celebrity who seems to be dancing in a very suggestive way and is hardly dressed, you are going to think that's normal. That's what we do.
Yes.
That's what makes you popular.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, peer pressure is one of those things. We get bombarded with a lot of messages from the music that we are listening to, the videos that they like watching. So there's a lot of messaging there that one needs to unpack and say, how does this normalize certain behaviors that might not be good for children? And I hear what you are saying about, you know, we can talk about deactivating whatever, but the truth is, when I had children, my children are now adults, so they only got phones when they were a bit older. And recently, I came across a almost like a proposal from my kids where they wanted Mixit, and they put together the pros and the cons of having this Mixit, and that was years ago. Now, children, we give them phones because we want to be able to get hold of them. That is mostly why we give them, because I need to be able to know where they are standing to collect them. So it's practical. So it's not easy for us to say, okay, you don't give a child until they're this age, unless you are collecting them and you're in an environment where they will not need to contact you. But most parents don't have that luxury of being able to say, I will only give you a phone when you get to that age. So we really need to think about then, how do we protect children? Because it's, Pamela, I think it's not only exposure to, you know, sexual content.
Yes.
How many times have we heard about children's mental health being affected by being exposed to social media?
Yeah.
The bullying, you know, cyber bullying and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So there are other dangers. It's not only the sexual part, but also just the mental health, the self-esteem. You know, there's a lot that is written about depression and self-esteem of people who spend too much time on social media. So we do need to come up, you know, and talk about what is it that we can do to protect the kids. We can't say, you know, it's out there, there's nothing we can do, we are giving up, but we need to come up with ways. Let's work with these tech experts and come up with ways to protect children who have to have a phone for practical reasons. And I agree with the caller. Children share information. It's just normal. You know, they find something that they think it's interesting, and if they know that it's supposed to be shared, it's even more interesting to them. So how do we then talk to my child at home that if you come across something like this, this is how maybe you need to be responding. You know, talking about it, asking me, coming back. So yes, let's open up and allow our kids to be able to come and ask these difficult questions that maybe we are uncomfortable to deal with.
Folks, children are pregnant. The numbers are very, very scary. Some of the numbers that we have in front of us, if we can look at these children, and you know, again, it depends where you get these numbers from, but we've got the most recent stats are coming from the Department of Health, and it looks like about 194,000 children have between the ages of 15 and 19 have fallen pregnant, and 17,000. Let me just double check this number again, because 120,000 delivered between April and June this year, 15 to 19 year olds, and then 10 to 14 year olds, 601 children were pregnant. I mean, that's absolutely scary. There is definitely something that we need to do and at least talk about here. 086-000-00959. Send those voice notes, and I see them. I'm going to read them just now. You can send the voice notes on 063-688-0959. When I come back, I want to ask the harder questions. What about the home? Us abusing our own children in the home and having family meetings about not exposing that.
The topic that you're talking about is quite touching, to hear that a 10-year-old falls pregnant. Like the lady has mentioned, that we don't have that way of living that we used to live before, where our neighbor would look out for each other's kids. It deterred kids from doing the things that they are doing today.
Oh, 086-000-00959. The voice notes coming through on 0636-880-959. I just want to read this from Anonymous. It says, Pimelo, as long as you have ukuthwala abduction in brackets, emakhaya amongst blacks, it is practiced in homelands, boys from initiation schools, where uncle are abusing these children, and the case parents keep this as a family secret. That's a message coming through from Anonymous. Dr. Mpumi Zungu is from the HSRC, and they've done extensive work in tracing and really getting data on teenage pregnancies, and also, you know, just checking other stats, like how many of them are also HIV positive and the like. Dr. Zungu, just a response to that text that came through from Anonymous.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's the first one is just, you know, pointing out to the issues of society and communities looking after each other. And ukuthwala definitely is among the things that we need to be talking about, especially in the rural areas. So if we look at the causes, which is, I hope that we can get to the causes of teenage pregnancy. And here, I want to really emphasize that I'm talking about the, you know, the teenagers that can have sex. So we are talking about people who are over the age of 16, not younger. So among the things, if you look at what might, you know, lead to an unplanned pregnancy, or an unintended, which is what people prefer to call it, an unintended pregnancy, one, you have to talk about contraceptives. So Can young people access contraceptives, contraceptive failure, challenges of not using them consistently or even correctly? So that is one factor that we need to think about when we're thinking about young people. Access to healthcare. You know, I know how difficult it is for young people to access a clinic, especially your local clinic where you are likely to meet your friend's mother or someone from church or whatever way, you know. So you find that young people want to access contraceptives, but because there's not a facility that is acceptable to them where they are guaranteed a confidentiality and also friendly. We need these friendly services. We need the younger nurses to be available so that a person can have that peer-peer kind of interaction with someone who can explain how the body works, how they can protect themselves. Attitudes of health workers. You know, how many times many of us, before we go to the clinic, we get so anxious because we are not sure what we're going to find there. And I don't want to vilify all healthcare workers, but sometimes that is a problem. This early sexual debut, where young girls are coerced to have sex. They are coerced by their peers, someone who's just a year older, and so on. And older men, what we found when you look at evidence is that young people who have an older partner are likely to get pregnant and to keep that pregnancy, because you are dealing with this power dynamic, which then leads us to this GBV that the caller is talking about, which is ukuthwala. But within ukuthwala, we also need to talk about gender-based violence, that is sexual abuse, the rape, the sexual harassment, and also coerced sex, where people are forced into sex. I'm going to leave you if you don't give me sex. We've been together for 2 years. You have not said yes. I'm going to leave you now. So that is coercion. It might not be a person might not in their mind think it's right, but being coerced is also a violation of someone's rights. And lastly, the drugs. We have not talked about drugs and alcohol. The binging that happens in our communities.
And it's become a culture. Nobody seems I mean, the idea of children drinking, it's everywhere. It's in videos that go viral. Nobody seems to think there's a problem.
Yes. You see children sitting down with empty dumpies and drinking, or stealing alcohol from a room where it is stored, and somebody will take a video of it and put it on social media. So that is why I was talking about the need for us to self-reflect. Because it can be content. That can be content. I've never seen children of other groups being depicted in that way and normalizing it, putting it on all these platforms, and all of us get shocked for 2 minutes and then we move on. The Nyobenis of this world that we have watched. And you'll find another case somewhere else involving young people. So I think really we need to be looking at the social fiber of our communities and saying, where did we go wrong? How do we come back to ourselves and put in place things that make sure that we protect young children at all costs?
I want us to talk about partly what Anonymous was also speaking about, this idea that there will be abuse in the family, and then we have this terrible culture where we must come together and talk. You know, the family must just have a meeting, and people agree amongst themselves that it's fine. We won't talk about this again.
Yeah, it is very common. Families like talking about criminal activity and excusing it, and finding ways of dealing with it within a family. Things that become a secret of the family, where children are not even given an intervention, whether it's to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, social worker. No type of intervention is given to children who are abused because families want to protect the abuser. There is that is something that has been in families, and it's something that needs to be dealt with, to say families can't protect perpetrators of violence against children. They need to be reported. We need to ensure that this person cannot violate, because often this is not the only child they are violating. There are others.
Yes, yes, yes.
Around them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and also that this awareness, we need to also be aware as parents and caregivers, that when we take children to different environment, because sometimes the family is where we all belong. Somewhere there's a house where we go to sleep and so on. And then you have, but there are other places where children can be abused. For an example, religious, within the religious sector, we need to look at that. Sports, you know, coaches and all those things. So one needs to just be aware, you know, who is interacting with your child. Who has access with your child? Even Pamela, years ago doing research in the schools, trying to understand relationship between learners and educators. And among the things that the teachers were telling us is that some of our male teachers have relationships with young girls here. And when we report it, the family accepts inhlawulo from this teacher who has violated a child, which could be a goat or a sheep, or some of them end up being married to these young girls at school. So these are things that have been ongoing, and I know that DPE has been dealing with it and making sure that those teachers really, really get disciplined and get into that register where they are noted, therefore that kind of misbehavior. But it's things that we need to talk about. This thing of you can abuse someone and pay in tlawulo needs to come to an end. These are cultural things that do not apply when we talk about sexual abuse.
We need to, let me just take a quick voice note before we wrap up our conversation. Let's take a listen.
I think this is a very, very touching subject that you're on. But I think our biggest problem here is pedophilia. You know, pedophilia is the number one source of this whole thing, because most guys or older guys, they have this mentality, you know, dealing with the young ones is not as expensive as dealing like they're not gonna ask for weaves, daddy nails and all that. They just want, like, dinto them nati, you just buy them snacks, you just buy last number a quarter, that's it. Why won't? And then our law, on the other hand, is like these cops, they do see these things happening, you know. I mean, a 30-year-old kitsamade wanonali 14 years, they don't say anything about that. Yeah, one. And number three, right, or one. I mean, if una atseba hore, like if maybe a parent tells a child ukuthi if umuntu so azokushaya, you have a right to go to the police station, you know, even if umshayela ukuthi umbone ajola and stuff, but then at the end of the day, like, you're going to just pass because you don't want to go to prison, right? One, and then they fall pregnant, and then siba blame, why didn't you tell us? There's a lot of things going on, but like we need to have like nje siqinise isandla, yebo, sidinga ukuthi siqinise isandla ingane zethu, check on our kids, you know, spend more time with the kids and make sure they focus on their books than ukuthi bayenze ibiology.
Asiphamelo, Tumza is right. I'm also a Bolt driver. I pick up small kids every day. They're going to Centene, they're going to Kempton Park. To these guys, African guys, I won't mention their nationality, but they are going there. And there's nothing you can do. And you try to discipline these kids. Uzoboshiswa, ubhekene ungenaphe endabeni zomntana.
Sure. We need to wrap it up, Dr. Zungu, because I think we've opened a can of worms. We don't have an answer to everything. But I think what's important is the idea that at least if we can make sure that we channel the concerns to maybe a facility or an NGO that's very familiar with these issues, they may take up the issue. You don't then have to be the one following back and up and forth with the issue. You can just say, look, I'm flagging something. There's a place here. I keep dropping people. Maybe have a look and you'll do the work. Or maybe you can do the reporting or whatever. Maybe for me, that's one of the ways in which we can start doing something. As Uputi says, you know, uzomkhuza kanjani lomntana. You know, you're going to be asked, so who are you? So maybe there are the other professionals who can come in here.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm also putting my hand up and saying that I will also contact some of the people that I work with. I'm part of a GBV collective that is coordinated at Department of Women, and I'm part of the Pillar 6, which is about coordination of information and also research. So within that sector, I'm going to also be raising this issue of Uber and kids being collected. And let's see if we can find one of the NGOs to help us do more work around collecting that data and see what we can do to deal with this problem, because it does seem like it's something very common. And I heard that they mentioned Centene. I don't know where the other area.
Kempton Park.
Kempton Park. Okay. Centene and Kempton Park. So definitely I'm also making that undertaking that it's something that I will raise in the forums where I sit to say that let's look at this and also maybe touch base with also the organizations like Teddy Bear that deal with children. Maybe they already know Dr. Omar is someone that probably you have also interviewed, who has a real passion for issues of children and violence. So we definitely, I'll be taking it up and making sure that it's something that it's looked at.
Dr. Zungu, I really, really appreciate you making time for us. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for your insights, just some ideas that you've been able to share with us. Dr. Zungu is from the Human Sciences Research Council, and she's a research director in the Public Health, Societies and Belonging Division at the Human Sciences Research Council. I think the idea of reaching out to an organized unit or a company or an NGO refers to not only to the Uber drivers, for instance, but I think let's all of us maybe attempt that. You know, a situation in the family, you don't want to get involved or to be seen to be getting involved, call someone who will take up the issue on your behalf, you know, where you don't want to be seen to be getting involved. Maybe it's a neighbor that you see something is not right there. Call the organization. They will come and maybe take that up. It's one of the things that they do as their daily mission. So maybe we do it that way, because yes, I agree. It's not easy nowadays to reprimand someone's child, because who are you? Who are you in the greater scheme of things? And so maybe what we can do is to try and give more attention to those spaces. You don't have to be the one doing the work. Call the professionals and say, I see someone and I know we don't trust the police. So maybe let's use other organizations who can, Lifeline, Love Life, and those kinds of people. They will surely come up and do the work that is required. More investigation, bring in the police and so on. They already have those contacts, the contacts that you and I don't have. So that kind of brings us to the end of our Mbizo, and I really appreciate you being a part of this conversation.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.